Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week, we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouk Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. All right. Welcome, everyone, to yet another Banking Reinvented podcast episode. And luckily enough, today we once more welcome Thomas Fuss, our CTO. Thomas, good to see you again.
Good to see you again, Tim.
Last week, we dove deep into the topic of data, and we concluded that data is the first thing you need to have in place to even consider getting value out of AI, to move beyond the hype. If you listen to the episode, that's also where we introduced Thomas. You get the backstory, so please do listen if you had to skip that episode. For today, we're going to focus on AI. So we're going to dive a bit deeper into the hype, and we're going to make sure that we really focus on how you can get value out of it. Before we do this, I was looking at my LinkedIn feed last night, Thomas, and there is this post from Simon Taylor that's going a little bit viral in our ecosystem, at least, which stated that Klarna has announced that it is shutting down Salesforce and will soon do the same with Workday as part of a wider initiative to shut down and consolidate SaaS providers, following a headcount reduction of over 50% in customer service and halving its overall headcount due to AI. So basically, they're making the claim that with AI, they can make their business significantly more efficient. What is your take on this?
Yeah, I think it's real. Whether it's going to be 50% or not, I think that's not so important. But I think it's a clear sign that, especially on the client servicing side and how requests are being handled, it has a massive impact. I think this is just one of the leading examples, and we're going to see it more often. And it's logical that AI has a huge role to play here. And I think Klarna is just, in one way or another, leading the charge with that, being also a digital disrupting company themselves. I think they're looking for new ways to innovate, not just towards their customers, but also internally. And I think it's not just a cost reduction exercise they're executing, but also one that is probably going to have a positive effect to their customers, because they're going to use more and more Gen AI, for example, to really help answer questions of their customers, disputes, all things you can think about in their business model in near real time, which is amazing as a consumer. So versus, for example, having to call, having to mail, having to wait for responses all day long. So I think it's real. Whether it's 50% today, maybe not. Is it going to be 40%? Maybe yes. It's going to be big. And it's really exciting to see how some of these digital front runners are all in. I think that's really the interesting observation.
Now, if you read the comments and if you look at the other types of articles in the industry lately, they're also looking at it more as it's a PR campaign, right? It's not really pure AI. It's just running a more healthy business. And they might also correlate it a bit stronger to they're just getting pre-IPO and they've got a really good narrative in this one running. Do you feel that there's a significant impact of that too? Or do you really believe in the core, like they can run a more efficient business because of the leveraging of AI?
Absolutely. We are right now in the hype phase. It's very difficult for any type of company not to talk about AI and how big the impact is for them. And that's also why I just said, look, do I believe it's 50%? No. I think that 50% motion is Klarna also, I think, potentially optimizing their IPO or just their shareholder conversations. Yeah, again, do I believe that this is real and that they are really challenging themselves on how they're operating, how they are interacting with their clients? I think yes. So you can separate the hype, but it doesn't change away the trend we're heading for. And yeah, from my point of view, this is just exciting. Let's see where they go. Let's see. I think eventually they will have to show whether these numbers are true. I was just last week in the Silicon Valley and I was amazed. There were board advertisements everywhere and I felt like every single company was advertising AI. So the hype is everywhere. The impact is yet to be seen. But I think we all believe that is coming.
Totally. And that's exactly what we're going to do in this episode. We're going to further unpack AI in the context of the banking space. Now, for our loyal listeners, we've already done one episode on AI together with Chris Chayan, our head of AI. And he made a very nice statement. He basically said, Tim, AI isn't new. It's been around for decades. The only thing that's different in this current paradigm is that it's more accessible and it's easier to digest into your organization, which now finally unlocks the opportunity of truly utilizing AI to make an impact into your business. Maybe let's start there. What is your perspective on AI in our industry?
Yeah, I think Chris is spot on. Eventually, we've been talking about the application of AI for a long time. But then as we talked last week, maybe our data propositions were not in the right space. But also, for example, if you look just at the available talent, it was simply not in the market. And of course, OpenAI or all the open source innovation from Meta is now really, truly accelerating this conversation and making both the technology more available, but also is generating a whole wave of new talent, people getting excited about it. So the whole ecosystem is exploding. It's not just the technology part at the end of the day, right? So if you look at, in general, the technology space, technology becomes available the moment it starts to grow an ecosystem, both commercially through companies like even a Backbase, or but also, let's say, being it especially on the open source side, like it's creating a whole ecosystem of talent that is now embracing it, that's refining it, that's making it easier to consume, easier to deploy, making it more cost efficient. That's also very important in this space. So I think it's all about the fact that now this ecosystem is exploding and making it as a whole more accessible. And yeah, I think that's really the transformation that we're really seeing. And I think Chris is spot on saying it's been around for a long time, but there were missing puzzle pieces. In itself, technology had to evolve. Around it, everything around it, that ecosystem had to evolve. And now suddenly it feels like everything is coming together. And you and me browsing on our phones every single day and being surprised what is possible. And we're looking at all these releases and everyone seems to innovate in that space. And I think it feels like no one can predict what's happening tomorrow. And I think that's just, there's a huge momentum. And that momentum is putting everyone in a position to participate in that. I think I truly believe in it. I think you can also see in this AI space, it's happening very differently from a lot of older tech innovation, which was heavily driven by large tech companies like an IBM, for example, who in the earlier days, nowadays also very different, was focusing very much on proprietary software, locked ecosystem. But now innovation is really happening rapidly in an open ecosystem supported by big tech. So if you look at what Microsoft is doing with OpenAI, for example, or Meta doing Llama, that I think is really the game changer. And that is also why it's happening so fast, because we're actually for the first time really experiencing a massive shift in technology that is seeing the both benefits. It's seeing the empowerment from the big techs and then seeing the empowerment from the open source community. And that's, in my opinion, why it's going very fast. And yeah, that is also why it's always been around, but it feels like only now it's arriving, because that is happening.
Yeah, clearly. I would even say if you look at the different builds of these types of either the LLMs or let's say the video generating platforms that are out there, they are exponentially getting better. It's not that they're just incrementally improving and it becomes a bit more realistic or a bit faster or a bit more cost efficient. It is exponential in where they are today. I think that's the most, let's say, intense thing in this whole AI hype. There is real substance there and it is accelerating even. Bringing that back to the context of banking, Thomas, if that's all right. How do you see this being applied to banking most logically? Like, what are the entry points to make real valuable impact for a typical traditional bank?
Look, again, that's exactly why I think it's accelerating so quickly, because we are now trying to use AI for a purpose. And today we can already see that example, right? We've been talking about Klarna and that they are striking Salesforce and so on and so forth. But I think even today, there's many banks that already started to employ chatbots, because then they offload frequently asked questions from the service center. In their CRM solutions, they will have, for example, pre-canned responses. It could be email templates generated. Like a lot of the content generation that is used to be largely manual overhead, tons of workforce doing almost tedious work. Yeah, that can be now almost instantly replaced with AI solutions. And so that's what I mean. I think it's also, it's a technology evolvement, but it's also the fact that we're starting to put it to good use that is creating value on both ends, the customer getting maybe better, more clear answers in time, and the bank, on the other hand, seeing cost efficiencies of not doing the same mistakes twice, not having to have multiple people to do the same tasks. So I think that's largely happening within the banks today, has been really on that efficiency side, which is really actually driving, has been the driving AI wave, in my opinion, within banks. And of course, also, especially in the risk side, we have seen a lot of AI, or
to be more precise, let's say really machine learning applications, where it was about helping to reduce fraud through the analysis of large sets of data. And that, of course, also can have a massive impact, and it can help significantly banks on their cost layer. So I think that's largely where, also when I talk to a lot of our customers and potential prospects within Backbase, I still see most of almost excitement, but also focus is really happening on the efficiency side of things, because I think they're the applications of AI are very tangible. They're real, right? There are real solutions out there. Again, coming back, for example, to that baseline chat, that assistant that helps you with very mundane tasks and questions. While I think when it comes to the customer experience side, I think there's still a lot more vagueness. We all believe there's opportunity, but what is it truly that is going to make a difference for us? I think there are some questions, and that's exactly also what we are trying to solve with Backbase right now. Look, you can do AI for the sake of doing AI, and I think that was maybe also a bit your question when we talked about the hype and maybe how big is that Klarna statement, or are you actually able to really generate value for your customers out of it? And yeah, so I think that's today very much an efficiency play. Tomorrow, we're really looking at unlocking new customer value through creating new experiences. And I think more than once in this podcast, for sure, we've been talking about talent value propositions. And that is the customer-facing side where I think AI can really have an impact, because tailoring, personalizing, it's exactly where AI is playing a big role, right? Because it's going from almost like a one-to-many relationship, so the bank is just servicing anyone in the same way, to actually truly in a fashion that can become very much a one-to-one relationship, in which I think you could dream about having really your own financial advisor. So if you look into private banking, if you have enough money, you can get a personal advisor against also some monetary exchange that is really helping you to grow your wealth and so on and so forth. But then if you look at the consumer space, then actually you're very much left on your own. And there's some crazy statistics. I think more than 90% of, I think at least in the, from what I know, in the Western Europe and the US of the population has no plan for retirement. So yeah, they have some retirement plan, tiny thing, but do they actually have a plan that goes beyond just putting a little bit of money aside, and they know how they're going to retire when they're maybe 70 years old? And the answer is no. And the question is, does the bank not have a role to play in this one? And often it's very difficult, because it's a very personal conversation, right? It depends on your, not just your financial income, but it also depends on your, how many children do you have? What type of dreams do you have? Like, how do you go about structuring that? And with AI, we can actually, that's maybe the dream, but you could think about that one-on-one relationship where AI is helping you to give you insights. And then maybe that's, from a regulatory point of view, a bit far out, but let's say really also helping you to actively manage your financial well-being and your life planning through it. And that's the, from little things giving you insights to maybe being the ultimate financial planner, is where we're going to look at in the years to come. And again, technology is changing so rapidly that this could be happening overnight, for all we know.
Yeah. To the point we opened up with, it's accelerating exponentially, right? So we're now discussing the fact that for the CX part, it's not fully baked yet, but in 3 months, we could be sitting here with 2, 3, 4, 5 super significant use cases that really move the needle. Coming back to your earlier point, the entry point of all of this AI-powered work in banking is really in the efficiency part, because it's super obvious, the ROI is super clear, and certainly you can handle the majority of customer interactions via a chatbot or via a very smart algorithm that will deliver the next best action, as an example. There's just one nice stat here that basically says, from Juniper Research, that AI-driven chatbots are expected to handle 90% of all customer interactions by 2025. Which could result into a saving of $7.3 billion annually for banks. Now, even if just a portion of that number is correct, the business case is a no-brainer. This will happen, and for the majority, this is already happening, which clearly is also something that Backbase leans into, I would say. Now, moving back to the one size fits all the way to one, with the dream of becoming potentially creating a world where everyone can have their own life planner, let's say AI-powered, how do you see all the different channels coming together? Do you imagine that it's fully AI driven, or is there still the human touch, the human interaction in the mix? How do you see this?
I'm a firm believer that it is always going to be a mix, right? So I think AI is here maybe to lead the conversation, but I think the human aspect is also an helping aspect because it can help you on the trust factor. And I think, at least for now, I really think that it is going to be a hand in hand. AI is helping the end consumer to already get a pre-selection of insights, recommendations. It's helping the bank employee to maybe have the same insights and recommendations and insights, so we have both the same perspective. But I think still there's always, I think, the need of a human touch because of interpretation. What about doubts? Having a conversation, you're buying for your first time a house. Maybe just, I don't think maybe you would ever have to see a person, but maybe you want to.
Would be nice.
So I think it goes hand in hand at the end of the day. But do I think it's AI led? Yes. So I think that's the world we're moving to, where I think that information, that insight, that proposal of next best actions that is there, that is available to both the consumer and the bank employee. But then you may want to have a conversation about that, right? So I think you're both informed. And then it really depends on you as a user. So I think me being a techie and being a bit more out there, probably I ask myself today, why do I have to talk to someone to open my mortgage or refinance it? Or like, I would love to really act on the recommendations my banks gives me through that are really automated. But I see many other people who would prefer that personal touch, right? And I think we often talk only about retail banking, but especially I think when it goes into also small to medium-sized banking for companies, I think advisory can play a strong role. Bank can also take a position that goes beyond just AI and information and actually saying, I'll help you grow your business, and I'll help that because I manage other businesses. So I think I see it as both. I do think it's very important that it is across all channels in a unified way. That's also what I meant, is I think whatever we're telling to the consumer is super important, that same information is available to the bank employee. Because imagine how annoying it would be. And we had that in the past 20 years, right? Like, I could go to a branch to do something, to then log into my web portal and not see the same thing. Or the other way around, I change something on the web portal and the bank employee has no idea what I've done. So that paradigm still holds true, where like also now with all this AI-led use cases and insights and information, recommendations, tagging, that needs to happen in a unified way across every single channel for any stakeholder involved in that. And also, yeah, it's really that whole notion of omnichannel will not go away. As a matter of fact, it can only grow. So if you also think about, I was just talking about the relationship between both the customer and the bank employee, but that could be also your accountant, that could be the tax authority, whatever. There's so many things where also I think open banking or open finance is really going to drive a factor, and you need to think about how that new value, this new insight is delivered, not just to one person, but all the stakeholders in the mix.
To build on top of that for a bit, Thomas, basically I'm hearing you say that there's a combination of how you're going to consume the services from the bank. There's for sure the self-servicing, which for the majority of, let's say, the younger generation is the ideal way of operating.
If not the only,
preferably, right? Because we're a bit more anxious to deal with people at the moment. But nevertheless, you have that self-servicing capability. And then depending on where you are in, let's say, your own maturity, the type of life events, or maybe the scenario which you're in, there could be a human assist. It's like a step up in the channel because there's a certain context where it really makes sense. And by the way, on the flip side towards the bank, it's also the moment where you can actually invest that time because the customer's worth it. And then lastly, across all of that, there should always be the AI assist to make those processes even better, if not completely autonomous. But if I hear you correctly, it's all three combined across any type of touch point, across any context, be it in retail, you're just a, let's say, student with a certain level of accounts, or it might be in the context of a small, medium business or commercial account where a lot of other things come together. But those three flavors of how to consume the service of the bank are basically the ones that together are going to make it very powerful.
100%. And this should be also our learning of the past 20 years, right? Like, the worst we could do right now is innovate again in silos. That I think we could be looking at driving value by applying AI simply on the mobile channel to solve one type of problem. But maybe the biggest learning we had is to truly generate value for the customer, service the customer in a perfect way. You have to look at every single aspect for it. And I think it's important to really cover all aspects of that one and not just go into the pitfall again, because otherwise I think you're going to look back in 5 years from now, you're going to look back and you're still going to see, you're going to see a new set of siloed activities, and they don't tie together and they don't create new opportunities. So I'll make also a nice example. I've seen last week a super nice demo by Microsoft where they are, for example, simulating a customer call. Customer calls in, has one problem, gets into the conversation with the agent, and the whole call is transcribed. And using AI is basically immediately just not just transcribing the call, but it's actually tagging it. It's hearing, oh, there has been a childbirth. It's logging this as a live event. It's also hearing that throughout this conversation, other things are happening. Person has bought a new house. And basically, you can see how, while they're having the conversation, it's starting to tag and create insights, but also does a sentiment analysis to say whether now is a good opportunity to inform the customer about maybe different products. Or in the future, there may be an opportunity to cross and to cross and upsell. And I thought that it was so powerful and yet very tangible, where you said that is feasible. That's very logical that you can transcribe to the conversation. You can near real time immediately create a sentiment analysis. You can create all the insights that can have an action for this call. And you can live give that to the agent and say, this is what you should be talking about. Or you should can create a next best action for down the road in a month from now, in a year from now. So like you would want to come back to that customer. And that is originating out of one touch point that happens to be a call. And that just shows you how powerful that is, because the follow-up on the call doesn't have to be, again, a call. It could be a campaign that you run towards the customer. It could be a nice email. It could be a nice push notification. It could be anything at that moment in time. But it showed to me how important it is to look at the whole life cycle and not just at the single problem.
Very nice example, super explicit use case as well. At the same time, if you talk to our typical prospect or customer, let's say in the C-suite or close to the C-suite, are they already comfortable going into that direction? Because clearly the technology is there. We can certainly execute on this, but do they feel comfortable already to implement it? And I'm really thinking also about, are the regulatory frameworks allowing you to do so within the different regions where we operate?
Yeah, that's the question everyone's asking. So I think there's, look at scale. I think there is most of our customers or the people we talk to, they're not comfortable. I think everyone is very comfortable when it comes to applying AI in the efficiency domain. So let's say behind the walls in the bank, because that feels like a safe zone. It's optimizing largely processes, driving automation, removing people that have to physically scan documents, stuff like that. So that is the safe zone, and you can see a massive wave of people embracing it. On the customer-facing side, there's a level of hesitance. And of course, we see first movers that are very excited about it. They want to innovate now, but it's also a big portion who is not comfortable with it, and it's definitely say we want to wait. I think the stance that we're taking in Backbase is, let's say, I do think it's important to innovate, but it's also the question how you go about it. So regulatory space is very much undefined. There is regulation coming up, but the approach we're taking, for example, is largely, look, we don't have to use AI to completely automate the entire financial life today, but we can use all the good things already today, at least give you that insight, give you a recommendation. And then as you as a consumer still have an option to take an action on it. That's, let's say, firmly what I believe in. We can be far off from saying, hey, there's an AI making a decision on behalf of you versus it helps you to derive an insight. And then I think also what we're trying to do right now in Backbase is not only to say, we try to give you also a lever as a bank on like how aggressive you want to be with that, so to speak. So it could be all the way from, yes, we're sending this automatic insights to you and say, for example, there's a recommendation, you will have money left to spend, you want to save it now, which is a very simple example. But we also have product examples where we basically say, we won't push that to the consumer unless a bank employee has signed off on it, let's say, basically approved it. And what we're trying to do with that one is also, let's say, how do we create safety mechanisms in it? How do we create also solutions that are playing to the comfort level of what the bank is comfortable with? But it's going to be a journey and we're going to have to learn from it. I think also I've spoken to at least one regulator myself quite intensively, and basically also there, everyone knows this is going to happen, right? Because I think in the end, it's going to have a net positive effect on everyone. And so the only question is, how do we go together on the journey without going rogue? But yeah, like we also said, I think just not doing it at all doesn't seem like an alternative because someone will. That's basically the whole story about AI at the end of the day is you can have your doubts, but it's going to happen no matter what. And the question is just like, how do you go responsibly on that journey and how you're basically really looking at it from a value point of view? And that's really also, if you look at how we're trying to approach this at the end of the day, I think we try to do it from a positive angle, or a value angle. Like, we look at how do we help banks to acquire customers? How do we help banks to activate these customers? How do we help them to expand the share of wallet with these customers? And then, of course, also, how do we retain them over time? Because maybe there's other nice and competing offers around the market. And I think this is all about creating positive value. It's in the end, it's about creating win situations. If the customer is happy to bank with the bank, you're going to stay, right? You're only going to leave because you're annoyed because I had to call 50 times and nothing is working. Or the other way around, yeah, I just expired the term and I moved on. Like, it's got to be about creating win situations. And then I think hesitation over time will also go away. But indeed, the question is, how do we run it responsibly?
Maybe the key insight is that regardless of where you are today in the journey as a bank, somebody else is already stepping into it and is going to go for it. Now, of course, the whole regulatory context will form, right? It will mature. And it's not an argument to just do nothing, right? I would really say that's one of the headline key takeaways. Now, moving to the takeaways of this episode, Thomas, if that's all right. I think there's a few parts that really need to be called out. I think, first of all, on the AI piece, we kicked off by saying, first of all, it is not new. It is just more accessible. The technology has become significantly better. The talent has become more readily available because there's more people moving into the ecosystem, getting excited for it, and really making a career out of this type of work, which all put together make the ecosystem successful or set up for execution. The second thing is that it's more cost efficient by now, where the, let's say, early day models were really cost intense and GPU intense also. We didn't really discuss it today, but with Chris Chayan's podcast, we dove deep into this topic. That by now, it's getting more accessible also economically wise. Plus, it's not just a cost, it's actually an investment that can yield if you deliver value. Now, you talk quite a bit about democratizing innovation or open innovation when it comes to AI, which is different from other innovation waves, which were more like IBM, which is just, it's a proprietary thing. They're just driving it. They hold the key on it. With AI, everyone holds the key. And that's why it's going that rapid, which I think is also amazing to see as a CTO in this industry, where you can basically go faster as well ourselves. I think it has a lot of benefit, if I may state it like that. And then wrapping up, we spoke about moving from a one-size-fits-all to a one-to-one experience, both for the customer, but similarly also for the employee. Because also there in the whole servicing lifecycle towards the individual customer, wherever they are in the segment, wherever they are in the line of business, similarly, the employee will have way more power at their fingertips to service that customer at the right moment in time at the right cost base, which makes the whole equation more healthy. And then last but not least, I think the real conclusion of this complete episode is you have to go. This is the moment. The appetite is there. I think also the consumer trend is that people are starting to expect certain capabilities, similarly from the bank, because all other more digital native platforms, they've already completely embraced it and they have implemented it to a degree that it's almost fluid. You're just getting used to it. So I think that would be my call out for this episode, that this is the time. Anything you would like to add, Thomas?
Yeah, absolutely. Indeed. So if you take anything away, I think this is the time. I think it's also fair to say, don't be afraid that you're too late. I do think this is the time, but it's also, everyone is still experimenting. I think that what has changed is that we see for the first time real impact, especially on the productivity side of things. And we see new opportunities of servicing our customers in new ways that are way more personal. And like I said before many times, in the end, what I really like about the whole AI-led type of banking is that it turns banking from being reactive to something proactive.
Totally. Now, with that, we're going to close for this week, Thomas. Thank you so much for joining us again and sharing your insights. There's a lot to digest here for the coming week. I'm looking forward to hopefully see you in the future. Thanks, Thomas.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jauke and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.